A federal law banning so-called partial birth abortion is now in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court. 6 years ago, the high court struck down a similar state ban. The court declared that the law was an unconstitutional burden on a woman's right to have an abortion because it did not have an exception to protect the health of the mother. 3 years later, Congress enacted a new ban, also without a health exception. This time, the law stated that the partial birth procedure is never medically necessary. Yesterday, the issue was back before the justices, as NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The procedure that abortion opponents call partial birth is done almost always in the second trimester of pregnancy when the fetus is not yet able to survive outside the womb. And most of these abortions are done because of the mother's serious health conditions or grave fetal anomalies. 95% of second trimester procedures are called D&Es, meaning dilation and evacuation. In most D&Es, the fetus is dismembered or comes apart in the uterus. But one form of the procedure occurs when the fetus emerges from the womb intact, with the head remaining inside the uterus. And because the head is too big to come out, the doctor compresses it, killing the fetus. That procedure is known as an intact D&E, or a DNX, and it is the procedure abortion opponents call partial birth. Abortion rights advocates counter that the law is so vague, its language could be construed to outlaw all second trimester abortions. Defending the ban in the Supreme Court, Solicitor General Paul Clement, questioned by Justice Ginsburg, said that Congress sought to outlaw only DNX procedures, not the more common D&Es.
Here, though, Congress didn't go after the dog, so to speak. It went after the tail.
Even though we're told by some of the medical briefs that the procedures are basically the same, they start out in the same way, and that the differences are not large in particular cases.
I think there is one very important difference between these two procedures that led Congress to ban one and allow the other to stand, and that is whether fetal demise takes place in utero, which is, of course, the hallmark of all abortions, or whether fetal demise, the lethal act, takes place when the fetus is more than halfway out of the mother.
But several justices noted there are some circumstances where a substantial body of medical opinion says a DNX is safer for women, particularly women with severe health conditions. Justice Breyer.
And as soon as you tell me that what's supposed to happen is that the judges are supposed to start deciding whether this is one of these unusual cases or not, rather than relying upon significant medical opinion, I don't see how it's going to work. At least I don't see how it's going to work without some people suffering serious illness as a result of mistakes by the judge.
The question is, when you have a perfectly safe alternative and you have some doctors who like to do it a different way, can Congress countermand the doctor's judgment, or do the doctors get the final word?
Justice Kennedy, however, seemed troubled by that answer, widely believed to be the deciding vote in this case. Kennedy said that the reason that the DNX is preferred in some cases is because it minimizes the number of times surgical instruments are inserted in the uterus, and that is particularly important in certain cases.
There is a risk if the uterine wall is compromised by cancer or some forms of preeclampsia and it's very thin, there's a risk of being punctured.
Even in those limited circumstances, the marginal risks between the DNX procedure and the D&E procedure are really, as far as I can tell, non-existent.
But abortion rights lawyers pointed to testimony and a brief from the American Association of Obstetricians and Gynecologists saying that they disagree. And under questioning from Justice Breyer, Solicitor General Clement conceded that there are no living babies involved in this case.
We're focusing on a universe where the fetus is not going to survive no matter what, right?
Right.
Okay. So we're not talking about anyone being born and living. They're not going to.
Planned Parenthood's Eve Gartner got an equally skeptical grilling from Chief Justice John Roberts when she talked about why some women prefer to have a fetus injected and killed in utero for psychological reasons.
It's a very personal decision how the woman who's made this very difficult moral religious decision to end her pregnancy, often for very tragic reasons, how does she want the fetus to undergo demise?
If the woman can take into account the impact on the fetus at a certain point in time, and the option, as you said, some physicians give of fetal demise prior to the procedure, why is that beyond the scope of things that Congress can take into account?
Because what Congress has done here is take away from women the option of what may be the safest procedure for her. This court has never recognized a state interest that was sufficient to trump the woman's interest in her health.
A decision in the case is expected later in the court term. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.